A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280, The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for hanging out. We just qualified another one of our listeners. Give me a first name, Jer. Who'd we qualify on this last one here? David got Hideki Matsuyama. That's not a bad pickup there, Scott.
No, heck no.
So Hideki Matsuyama off the board. And we're looking forward to qualifying more folks later in the show. 1 an hour for our Uinta Golf Major giveaway, so you don't want to miss it. Speaking of KSL Sports, joining us on the program right now, Tom Hackett, our favorite former punter at the University of Utah, and really just all-around good dude. You got to go to KSLSports.com and read Tom Hackett's story about his, quote, turmoil life as a short-lived CFL player. Tom, what's up, man? How you feeling?
G'day, gents. Doing all right. How are you?
Good. I feel like, I mean, I went through this whole story, and I go, Scott, did you read Tom's story? He's like, yeah, it's a wild situation. First of all, it was wild that you even got drafted, right? Like, the whole story surrounding it was crazy. And then you go up to Canada for 5 minutes because you start punting. The wind's terrible up in Winnipeg. What became the end of your CFL playing career, and is it totally over?
Well, I'll answer them. So, no, it's not totally over yet. Like, I know the headline is, it can be a bit misleading, I guess. And I was worried that people may read that and say, oh, he's retired. I haven't retired for good yet. I don't have a decision to make because we're on strike. So it doesn't make any sense to me, to be fair. It's a very confusing situation. All the vets, the whole team is still in Winnipeg, just like twiddling their thumbs in their shoebox of a dorm room at the University of Manitoba, and I was like, I'm out.
So, do you have, like, any news as far as where they are on the strike, or, you know, is there the possibility that it ends, and then what happens to you when the strike ends?
I don't know a ton. I know that the Players Association has put together an offer that they're waiting to hear from the league on. But from all reports, both parties are like a fair ways away from really getting much done. And I don't know, you know, all of the details, and it's reasonably complex. But if they can get a deal done, then I'll have to decide, you know, if I want to go back up there, basically. But, I mean, I'm in a strange position because I haven't played in so long that if I don't want to, if, you know, let's just say it takes them a month, I may not want to get back up. I may be okay. We'll just have to play it by ear. So we'll figure it out as time goes. But I haven't made any decision, to be honest, as to whether or not I go back up there, because I just don't know what the future holds. So no point stressing over something that you may not need to stress over at all.
Right, especially if you can't control it. And, like, imagine your first go back into a shot of being a pro punter again, and you're thrown into the middle of a strike that you've never, ever even heard of or been a part of, and you're like, I guess we're on strike, and I guess I'm a part of it now, and I guess. But from the actual punting standpoint, I know you put in your piece that it was super windy, not great conditions. By the way, like that's – I guess you got to get used to it because that's kind of the
that's
way it
the
is.
Beginning.
It's going. Yeah, it's just going to get worse. Then it's just going to get cold.
It's going to be cold on top of windy.
On top of the wind. So, how was the actual punting that went? And like how were you comparing at the very beginning against these other guys who were up there?
It was okay. I mean, it was about what I expected, to be honest. And I had spoken to them right before I got up. I said, "You're going to have just a little bit of patience with me. You know, it is kind of like riding a bike in the sense that I can do it. It's just." You know, I got to fix the chains a little bit and, you know, get some new brakes on there and just make a few little adjustments. And so over the course of the 3 days, I saw that I was improving. So that's promising. And it felt good. It you know, the adrenaline started kicking in and I felt alive again, which was nice. And so it was an overall very fun and reasonably pleasant experience, but just short-lived. I was up there for, I think, 6 days. And to be fair, I don't know if I would have come home if Mum and Dad weren't here in Salt Lake City. So they're visiting, and I left on the 9th. My 30th birthday was the 10th. So, and that was kind of why they were out here. So, to be able to come back for a few more days before they get going is worth its weight in gold for me. And
well, and I think for people who are listening, like I can't tell you, like Tom's parents coming from Australia. Or when you and your wife and your son went down to Australia, those were massively big deals because over the past few years, it's just been so hard to make that happen. And so this was a trip for them to come up. That I totally felt it in the story when you were like, I had to leave and my parents were here, my kid and my wife were here, and I'm going up to try this you know my hand at this Canadian football team. And so I totally got it. So I'm like already okay for you if you don't go back too, because I'm going, oh my heavens, you got all this stuff going on back here. But it's just a wild journey. Like a story that was already weird and wild has gotten more weird and more wild.
Yeah. It's what's also, I guess, really strange for me is I've spent the past 2.5 years kind of confined to my own, you know, $1,600 house, you know, not a massive house, big enough for the three of us, obviously. But you know, we got sent home, and that's all I've really done is I've stayed home. and then, of course, the last couple of weeks has been far from it. I've been here, there, and everywhere, and trying to keep my head on a swivel has been a bit of an issue. So it hasn't been the end of the world, you know. Like I was telling Dad this, and we were having a chat about it. But it's like, you know, you inject some energy into the universe, and all of a sudden you start hearing from people that you probably wouldn't have heard from, you know, and otherwise. And so, I don't know. I it was good. It was fun. I was able to speak to people up there and return text messages. And Mark Harlan reached out. And, you know, I wouldn't have spoken to Mark if I didn't go ahead and try this out. I bumped into Jeff Rudy at the airport. So there are just people that I've now spoken to that I really hadn't seen or heard from in years. So, you know, I don't know, we'll see what happens over the coming weeks, but it's been wild.
So I inject the universe with a Creole butter injection, you know.
It's that, all food based. Yeah,
I kind of get it all, you know, lathered up so I can smoke it. So when you went through like the mini camp, was it, did you go, were you going to go into training camp after that? Was that a tryout? Was what was going to be the process, and like how soon does the season start if it was to start?
A little different from the NFL. So rookie mini camp went from Wednesday of last week to Friday. The vets got in on Saturday. The strike occurred at 12:01 Sunday. Camp was meant to start on Sunday. They had to cut about 20 people on Saturday, but I don't think they got round to it because there were bigger fish to fry, obviously. Mm. And then the first preseason game for the team I had signed for, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, was scheduled to take place next Tuesday, I believe. And supposedly if they can't get a deal done by Wednesday, that game's not going to be played. So So it happens quick. The first regular season game is June 9th, and then they play 18 games. But there are guys, and for those that haven't read the story, there are people out there. You know, TSN is kind of their big network up there in Canada.
It's kind of their ESPN, yeah.
Right. And then they're all kind of saying that if the CFL doesn't play this year, it may be over. It may fold. It may go bankrupt. They didn't play in 2020, and I guess they were like the only league in North America that didn't get off the ground in 2020. Every other league was able to, albeit, you know, with smaller schedules. And then in 2021, they had a 14-game season as opposed to a regular 18-week season. And so if they can't go again in 2022, that'll be 3 years of pretty significant financial losses for these teams that don't make a ton of money anyway. It may well be over. So, I mean, there's a fair bit riding on this strike, and if it can't sort itself out, then the CFL may be dead as we know it.
That's wild to think that, like...
CFL can't die.
Well, listen, I mean, it's kind of a wild thing because we just are used to the main football entity here in our country being so flush with cash that they don't know what to do with it. And then you've got, you know, the CFL, which, you know, it's just like any other business. If it doesn't have the same, you know, TV money coming in, if it doesn't have the same revenue that comes in, like we're not talking about, you know, NFL light here. We're talking about like the CFL that runs on a totally different system. And so, well, my whole thing is I was like, I'm glad Tom got to come home and see his parents. I'm glad Tom got to come home and see his kid and his wife, because that's kind of a big deal. But I'm also interested to see this thing play out. So my vote is, Tom, if they figure it out, you probably, I mean, at this point, do you have to fly up there on your own dime now, or is the team going to fly up?
No idea. I don't know much.
Should we pull some? Should we start pulling? So should we get a GoFundMe going?
No, we should have a pool.
We should have a poll question. Should he stay or should he go?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's get it.
We'll help you make your decision.
Should Tom pursue? Like, I love it too, because, like, I mean, have you read through the details of the collective bargaining agreement? Are you like, oh, for sure, we're getting hosed, man? You've been there for five seconds.
No. I've read through bits of it, and it sounds dodgy. It sounds like the Players Association over the past. Here's what's asinine, guys. They do this every 3 years. they bargain a new CBA agreement every 3 years, and I'm like, what is going on? That just seems silly. So, I guess last time in 2019, they striked, but it was for about 3 to 4 hours. They got it done at about, you know, 4 a.m. in the morning or whatever. And I guess that's commonplace. That's kind of how it's been over the last couple of decades up there. But this time is obviously a bit different because we're going on, this is day three, and the only other serious lockout occurred in 1974 when it went for 10 or 12 days. So this is reasonably significant.
Interesting. It's a wild
thought. Is it they striked or they struck?
They stroke.
Which would it be?
They struck.
They
striked? I mean, yeah, because it's a strike. So they're striking.
They striked.
Tom, we're looking forward to seeing how this thing plays out, man. And are you still punting, though, just to, like, keep yourself, you know, kind of your wits about you punting-wise?
Yeah. I just go down, hit a few balls, and, you know, I don't know. Yeah,
where do you go kick? Does the U let you go kick inside at the Eccles Fieldhouse there?
I can't go inside. The roof is not tall enough.
Oh, whoa.
And it's not just because I'm a good punter. Like, it's not tall enough for high school punters, so I don't want to come across arrogant. But so I can use the outdoor turf field that they have when available. So.
Okay. All right. Well, we're looking forward to it. We're going to get an update.
I think you should go to the mouth of Parley's Canyon in the evening when the wind
just
is
kick
blowing
into the
down
wind there.
Down
right.
The canyon. That's
you know
that's
what?
How you should practice.
Tom, you're right around there. So you just go down. Just go down there, right there where that the mouth of Parley's is. You know where those rocks are down there. Just kick a few balls into those rocks and see if that's the kind of wind you're facing. Scott's got the point. It's good.
I'm not kidding. It was 40 mile an hour wind. Like, you know how sometimes it'll get to like gusts of upwards of 40 to 60, but it was like constant. It was insane.
Why don't they just go? Look, guys, punters go home, kickers go home for a minute. Or, like, honestly, though, grade yourself. Were you the best punter there?
Well, it's hard for me to tell because...
Because of the wind.
because I was the only one at rookie minicamp, so the vet didn't have to show up, you see. So I haven't gone toe-to-toe with him yet.
Okay. All right. We're looking forward to it. I'm going to find him on Twitter, and I'm gonna harass him a little bit. And be like,
okay,
yeah,
thanks.
You can't kick into the wind. You're not going to make it, buddy. All right, Tom, we appreciate it. We're looking forward to it. Go to KSLSports.com, read that byline, and have fun with your family while they're in town, man.
Thanks, guys. Good to hear your voices.
There you go. Tom Hackett. What a weird story, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. I wonder if they have scabs, people that, like, cross the line. Think Tom would cross the line?
Tom's like, I barely even wanted to be there. Like, no, he's not going to cross the line.
I think he should, just for the experience.
The one guy who's all, they're all, hey, guys, we're going to solidarity. Let's stick together. Tom goes, I'm flying home. What do you guys have going on?
I think that was a good move by him to fly home.
Dude, his parents are here. His kids here. And, like, we don't know how this thing's going to end up. Could you imagine that they fight so much that they just let the entire league go south because no one wants to swallow their pride and get this thing done? Nope, we're not going to make it happen. It's crazy. All right, we'll take the break. We'll come back. We have our what are the odds around the corner? You don't want to miss it. I know you're probably tuning in going, oh, I needed some of that hot CFL strike talk that I'm used to on the Zone Sports Network, right? It's like, come on. Hey, we have one of our colleagues at KSL Sports doing it, getting inside version of it. Maybe he'll be the player rep for down here. That'll be good. Like, he comes on, and then he's suddenly like this, like, union boss. He's just like, we are getting hosed by the league. How dare they? Stay right here with us. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.